Welcome to the OA Light a Candle Meeting Podcast. Visit our website at oalaig.org, where you'll find several speaker feeds with over 400 speaker files, forms for ordering CDs for these speakers, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. I would now like to introduce our speaker for tonight, Giselle.
Hi, I'm Giselle, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Giselle.
Even when the water bottle blocks the speaker. Okay, so I just start, right? Michael, thank you for asking me. I really appreciate it. It's kind of crazy. It was my 1 year this week, as you all saw. I think I'd like to get the numbers out of the way. I came to OA in 2012. And I was extremely high on the food, and so I didn't even understand that this was about spirituality. I was like, give me the food plan. Like, what's going on? And I picked a beautiful sponsor, and she was very nice to me, and I did what she said, but it wasn't about the food, but it wasn't doing it. I just wasn't surrendering. I didn't get it. So that's what I found out was missing, was the step zero piece, which was like, I was not willing to surrender, like not willing to say I'm out of old ideas. No, but you don't understand it for me. I wasn't willing to do that. So I left. And I gained 80 pounds. I'm 5'2". My top weight is 225. And when I came into the rooms, I was 206. You know, we know our exact numbers. on every inch of success. Over the past year, in my first 4 months, I came back in 2015. In February of 2015, I came back on February 4th. And I came to this meeting that whatever that next Saturday was, and I got a sponsor, and then February 11th, I started my abstinence. So my abstinence when I started was no binging, no deep fried foods, and no flour of any kind. And I've since added recreational sugar, but what else is sugar but recreational? So so it's like, am I going to have it in the coffee? Like, why? It's not a cake. So so those are my abstinence pieces. And when the binging was lifted and some of the alcoholic foods were lifted, I lost 40 pounds in the first 4 months. It was crazy. I do have pictures going around, and I know sometimes it doesn't get to that side of the room, but you can come see it after. I think it's important, when I first started getting recovery and I had lost all this weight, and I know there were some newcomers who were talking to me and they're like, who are you? You know, you look pretty normal. Which I'm not physically or emotionally or spiritually, but, I like to say what physical recovery I've gotten, because it's given me a lot of relief. So I should share about what it was like, which I find that I don't do a lot, because who wants to, that doesn't look good with this outfit, you know? But I want to share that because I hope someone here can identify with it. Fast food was my best friend. All of them, don't worry. So I would go to different fast food joints, and they just never had what I wanted, right? They just never had quite the right thing, you know? Taco Bell, like, didn't have the special thing they would have sometimes, or, you know, Carl's Jr., the burgers were better than McDonald's, but the fries were better at McDonald's. You know, like, they didn't, so I had to go to all three. And, fast food was the perfect thing for me because of anonymity, oddly enough. You drive in, I'm not going to remember you, you won't remember me, I'm going to order my stuff, it's just me. I never made any excuses, you know, I wanted three of every of the dressings and the weird things that I would put together. And I was never like, oh, yeah, honey, do you want any dressing on the side? I was just like, who am I kidding? You know, like, I'm 225 pounds. I'm, like, here at 11 o'clock at night. Like, who am I kidding? You know? But that's really interesting because, you know, I ate alone a lot. Like, a lot. And I still do. Eat alone sometimes, but not very often, actually. But I got to the point where I would go to, like, nice restaurants and just binge. Like, I would just eat at a nice restaurant. I wasn't going to, you know, I could afford to eat a nice meal out. Why wouldn't I just binge there? So, like, I went from, like, fast food to takeout, you know, at home where it comes to you. And then I was like, forget this. Like, I'm just going to go eat what I want. Like, no one cares about me. Like, I'm this fat girl in the room, like, no one cares, you know? You know, I had a lot of stomach problems, not pretty, unsociable. You know, there were times that I had to not, honor my commitments because of my eating. And who knows if I did it because of that or whatever. I try to not get into the psychology of it because I could basically make anything make sense. You know, it was basically horrible. That was the binging part. And it got worse and worse and worse. It was progressive. This disease was progressive for me. It basically started, I was 185 pounds when I graduated college. I went on a medication. I had severe, severe anxiety and panic because I was going out into the world. And there'd always been a plan. And then I hit college, and it was just like, whoa. So I was like, all right, I'm going to get a job, I'm going to live on the west side, and I'm going to have a car that works. And that was fine, but that just wasn't enough for me to, like, handle the unknown. It just was huge. And so I went on this medication, and spoiler alert, I'm still on that medication, so it's not the medication that made me gain weight. But I gained a lot of weight. I was like 150 probably, and I got to 185, which is a lot for my frame. And I met a man who I'm now engaged to, and he's wonderful, but we've gone on quite a little weight journey together. I don't take other people's inventory. He has his own relationship with food. He wanted me to be a normal body weight, and he would see me binge, and it was disturbing to him, and I don't blame him. So I wanted to please him, and I wanted to lose that 35 pounds. Well, so I went to all the commercial weight loss, you know, things, and everyone else around me was losing weight, and I would, like, lose 3, gain 2, da-da-da, you know, like the Willy Wonka when he walks up the stairs and he goes down 2, and it just was, like, so demoralizing, and going in every week and weighing, oh, my God, and it just didn't work. You know, I just finally couldn't diet anymore. And when I grew up, you know, it was like I'd be 10 pounds overweight, and then I actually distinctly remember being in eighth grade and noticing that I was no longer growing as much, because what I would do is I would binge and I would get wide, and then I'd stretch because I'd get taller, and then it stopped happening. And so I kind of filled that hole with sex for a few years, and then some trauma happened, and that was no longer a viable solution, and so I went back to the food, and that was in high school. And so I've basically, the spread has just gotten bigger, you know, from needing to lose 10 pounds to 20 to 40 to 50 to 80. So yeah, that's what it was like. What happened was I met this guy, and he wanted me to be a normal body weight, and he wanted to, like, have, like, a healthy person that would go on walks with him and things like that. And I couldn't do it. I literally couldn't do it. So the dieting didn't work. I tried, I guess I'm not supposed to mention outside things, but I've tried all of those, like, meal replacement things where they send you food, the, like, weird astronaut food, which is disgusting. You know, like, I really tried a lot, but I just would binge. And I actually left this man to be with my disease. I basically got to the point where I was, you know, I was at my 225, and I was like, I got to be with this. Like, I went into an outside program and learned, like, I have a real thing. I learned, oddly enough, there what my alcoholic foods were. And I needed to be alone with my disease. And I got to my top weight, and, you know, my legs were all sore from rubbing together, and I couldn't fit in pants at all. Everyone thought I was just a very polite, conservative young woman who only wore dresses, but I just couldn't fit in pants. You know, I always thought about going to maternity stores because, you know, they had, like, the stretchy top, you know, and thought, well, maybe that would work. And so I went with my friend, and then she was pregnant, and she tried them on, and I was like, I'm not even, those look too small for me. And so I just finally started going to, like, Lane Bryant and started owning that. But, you know, I was swimming in myself. So there was someone else in my life who actually started overeating. She had a trauma in her life, and it was really hard. It was like looking in a mirror. And I don't think she's a compulsive overeater, but, you know, many people do come to food for comfort at some point. So I saw her, and I was obsessed with it. So I came to program. I came back on February 4th because I had someone in my life who was overeating, and I was powerless over them. And I came into that room, and I was like, oh no, this is it, you know, like, this is the solution, no. And so I've stayed since. So what it's like now is that I asked for a sponsor right away because I had been in the rooms and I kind of knew that you were supposed to do that. And it really started clicking with me that first week. I identified, right? So we come into these rooms to identify. Like, if there's something that you hear that speaks to you, that's awesome. And if it doesn't, forget it. Unless you want excuses to not be here, then go for it. But, you know, take what you like and leave the rest. And I was just liking everything. It was all working for me. And so I met a sponsor early on, and she told me to do 30 days of 30 meetings, 30 meetings in 30 days. And I did that. And we had, we were going to speak the next night, and she was going to tell me all of the things I had to do. And she said, you know, I'm very specific. I have certain requirements. And I said, fine. You know, like, I was really, really willing. And the night before I did my last binge, God, I wish it was so much more epic. but it wasn't. But I remember going into work the next day, and I have a dear, dear, dear friend who happens to be in AA and who really, really got me back in this room, you know, very subtly. And he saw me struggle every day, every single day, every single day, every single meal, every single lunch, every single bagel morning, every single everything. And I came in and I said, you know, because I had been so excited that week, I'd been going to meetings, and I said, I did it again. I did it again, you know, like, how did I do it again? I'm in this program, I'm getting a sponsor, I'm speaking to her tomorrow, and I binged again. And he was like, sounds like you got it, you know, like, and I was so relieved, you know, I had tears in my eyes. That was complete and utter demoralization. Like, oh my God, I found the solution. I'm going to do it. And I binge the night before. I'm going to get a sponsor. Okay, I've got this. So since that moment, it's been very clear to me that I have this disease. I am a compulsive overeater. My brain is broken when it comes to food. I'm way better at helping you with your food than my food. And I need help. And I can't do this alone. And I only have a year. I'm a baby. I have no mistakes about that. But I do know that when I hear newcomers speak, that it helps me a lot. And I'm not sure why, but it does. So, you know, whatever I have, I remember my sponsor told me when I came in, oh, you know, I said, someone's asking me for help, but, like, I only, you know, have, like, a week. She was like, if you have a week, you can help someone with a day, and they can help you, too, you know? So we all help each other. So what I do now, yeah, I'll go there. What I do now is I go to 3 meetings. For the first year, I went to 5 meetings a week. And I had a commitment at all those meetings. And I actually highly recommend it. I don't think I could disappear from this room and someone wouldn't call me. Like, I think I see about 50 people here who would be like, where are you? And that's the thing is, I can't disappear here. I'm in the middle of the herd. I'm in the middle of the herd. And that is that I not only take from you know, because I'm a good taker, but I give to, I contribute to this group. So I have commitments. And when I'm at a meeting and I don't have a commitment and there's something that comes up, I raise my hand, you know, because I want to contribute to this thing that is saving my life. Because I was pre-diabetic. I went in for an ear infection, and the doctor, this random doctor, I'd just gone into, you know, Kaiser Urgent Care, and I was like, I need some medication. I have, like, an ear infection. He was like, okay, you're obese, and you're pre-diabetic. And I was like, you know, screw you, you know, how dare you, you know? And I called someone in my family who's also overweight, and she was like, it's a medical term. You know, my grandfather was a doctor. Like, he would have diagnosed me obese, you know? I'm now around 5 pounds away from a normal body weight, a healthy body weight. And, like, the BMI thing is weird. But I would like to be in a healthy body weight class. I will say that for the first 9 months or 10 months, you know, the obsession to binge was lifted from me. Thank God. Thank God. It was not me, because I tried to control this thing, like, beyond. I mean, like, look at my big book, okay? Like, there's tabs everywhere. You know, like, I tried to manage and control so much in my life, and when I finally surrendered, that's when everything started happening. And there's just different levels of surrender. So I hit a new level recently with my food. I've been willing to ask for help with my food, and I wasn't previously. I really wasn't. You know, I did send my food into my sponsor. I did not binge and abstain from my alcoholic foods, but the obsession to overeat, I mean, I walked out of this room crying because I was thinking about popcorn and that I just can't let go of it, and that it's like the only safe bag sort of item still, you know, and it just started becoming really obvious that I was still medicating with the food. And I know I'm on a long journey, but this last month, I did not medicate with food during every month. I have a time that's very difficult for me. I don't know if you know what it is, but I didn't medicate with the food. I did not medicate with food. I didn't overeat. I didn't overeat. I literally ate a normal food plan, and that's a miracle. So this program for me has all been about miracles, like things I can't believe. And there have been things that my sponsors asked me to do that I'm like, you're crazy. Like, for example, this is like not an extreme story. I got in a minor car accident, which I've gotten in car accidents because of food. Like there are things like I've been deconstructing. Like, my food has, I've been able to hurt and steal and cheat and lie and learn that that is a part of my defects of character. Like, I've learned that I do lie. You know, the day that I turned over my defects, I was late, and I lied to my sponsor. Okay? And then we're going through the defects, and I'm like, I see lying, and I'm like, I had written, I don't think that's such an active defect of mine. And she was like, yeah, why did you lie? Like, obviously I know. And I was like, that's so weird. But, you know, the humility has just been so huge for me. Like, that same friend of mine who's in AA, who's, like, you know, clearly a huge lantern on my path. I did something, and he was like, whoa, be easy on yourself. Like, he was like, so this is what humility is. Humility isn't, like, pretending, like, being humble, like, oh, no, whatever. Being humble is being like, I can be a not nice person, and I can be a liar, and I can be a cheat, and I can be greedy. And when those moments happen, like, I was greedy today, I just, like, immediately said to my fiancé, I was like, I'm sorry. Like, I'll pay you back when we get home. And he was like, no, it's fine. I was like, no, I will pay you back. Because I had to get my groceries, and it was a specific food, and, you know, we all have the weird food stuff. But I'm really grateful for the humility that's growing. That is not super innate in me. I want to talk about my higher power for a few minutes, since that's why all of this is happening. But it's really, I think, important to talk about the real deal stuff, because I know that I talk to my sponsor multiple times a day about my food right now. That's where I'm at. And And I do want to say before I go into the God thing, thank you, Michael, for asking me to speak if I didn't thank you already. Welcome to the newcomers. Stay before the miracle. Stay until the miracle happens, or come back. And happy birthday. And congratulations to the Trip Takers. So higher power. Higher power for me started with The Room, and it talks about that in our book. And it still is definitely one of the greater powers in my life. And then sponsorship and my fellows. I am imperfect about connecting with that higher power. And when things get uncomfortable, it's a lot easier. But I try to practice that muscle as much as I can. I wish that I was the most routine person. Oh, my God. You should have seen how I organized my cleaning today. And it didn't go according to plan, but it's the house is clean, you know. I'm not one of those people who says, I wake up, I do this for 5 minutes, I do that for 10, and it's beautiful, and my lunch is already made, and I did it. Like, that's not who I am. But I can one day wake up and say a prayer before I, like, even take my first awake breath. And another day, I can, like, be in the car, and someone will call me that I've been thinking about. And so prayer, like, comes to me. So, I don't have a perfect routine. I do read daily readers. And I'll just say, before I open it up to questions, I don't take credit for this. I really don't. And the small part of me that does is the part that I have to surrender to. I'm extremely grateful to this program. It has saved my life. It has saved my life physically, spiritually, emotionally. My relationships are much healthier. I'm willing to apologize. And not over-apologize, but when I do something, and to be honest. You know, it says all you need to do is to be honest and have an open mind. Somewhere it says something like that, right? And so if you listen to me and you're like, okay, I don't want what she has, that's fine. But that's not, like, the most open mind I've ever heard of, you know? Have an open mind, like one thing I said, okay? But being honest and being open and just, like, taking what you like and leaving the rest and letting you be you and you be you has really served me well. I look forward to being in this room a long time and being, like, old and gray up here and sharing again. And thank you. So, questions? Yeah, Lucy.
Can you talk a little bit about how your relationship with your fiancé has developed and changed?
Sure. I was asked about how my relationship with my fiancé has grown and changed. In all honesty, he's a really big part of my eating disorder story, in that I was trying to please him for so many years, and it was really none of his business, but I made it his business, and he wanted to help me, and he's a loving person. But, you know, I hit a point when I wanted to be with my disease and I left him that when I came back, I basically tested him. I basically binged in front of him and was just like, are you going to say anything? And he didn't. And then when I got into this room, it was like, okay, great. There's going to be another 6 months of something that won't work. Awesome. You know, and he just accepted me as I was. When I took him back, you know, he was just like, he said, I don't care if you're 700 pounds. Like, I want to be with you. And it became clear that that was true, but I didn't want to be 700 pounds. And that's where I will head. If I'm out of this room, I'll be 225 by next February, no doubt. And that's nothing against 225, but I'm 5'2", and I'm not supposed to be that weight. So my relationship with him has gotten a lot more honest. I'm not trying to people-please him. I used to not tell him things, even into this program, like not tell him stupid things, like someone invited us for dinner, because I was worried he'd say no, and I'd be disappointed, and then I'd try and, like, manipulate him so he'd say yes. And, you know, I did put my wedding on hold for this program, because I knew that I was changing rapidly, and I needed to be willing to go to any length for my sobriety with food, and so we did. And, I'm so glad we did. And now, I'm just a lot more honest with him, and, he's not invited to talk about my food or my body, and he doesn't want to. But that's like the biggest question you could have asked. I could go on that for like 40 minutes, but honesty, and not people pleasing. Thank you.
Thank you so much. So happy for you. I'm just grateful to be here with you. Today I was listening to a podcast and I heard a speaker say that she can have fear be her higher power. Mm. She lets it. That just like hit me. And I was wondering if you could talk about how when you put down the food, how other things start pumping up this higher power and how
thank you. When you put down food, how do other higher powers come about, especially fear? So I talked, I didn't talk about a lot of pieces of my story, like drugs are a part of my story and sex is a part of my story and still is in a good way, but not like, those things were very tempting. And I will say, last night, I had a glass of wine, and when I knew that I couldn't have any more food for the night, and that was like a sad thing last night, the night before speaking about food. Things come up, like substances come up, shopping comes up, but something that I've found is that I really don't get the relief anymore from it, and it's so fleeting, and it doesn't feel clean. It doesn't feel clean anymore. Now, that doesn't mean I don't do it. It does not mean that I don't do it. I don't want, but I've been told that fear and faith don't coexist. They just don't. So I can be one, or I can be in the other. And so if I can notice it, if I can go to someone, because I'm not going to notice it on my own. I just am not. When I'm in that fearful place, when I'm in that give me that high place, I'm not going to notice whatever I need to. So, so I would say talking to another person has helped me a lot. Talking to my fellows about what I'm afraid of and not treating them like therapists, but saying, this is what's up for me right now, giving it a time limit and getting on to the next thing, that has worked for me a little bit, is just asking for help. Oh, we have time. Yeah.
How's your relationship with like the other members of your family and life, aside from your fiancé or boyfriend?
Well, what is my relationship like with my family? My family was really scared that I was like going to die of this. You mean like after like sobriety? So they've been extremely supportive. I'm extremely grateful. I will say that I've learned a lot about my family. That there's a lot of body obsession in my family that I wasn't really attuned to until recently. And we do eat a lot, and we do eat for comfort. And, I've become more attuned to those things, but I don't judge them. I'm like, what works for you is great. They know that there needs to be rice cakes at all the, the holidays. My sister was just telling me, she's like, so there's like a funeral home for all your rice cakes that you leave here. Because, I don't really like, but they're like a safety blanket, and I guess my relationship with them is one where I'm trying to learn boundaries. I'm trying to learn boundaries. Like, my mom said something to me like a few months ago that was like, this is something you should talk to your fiance about. Like, I would still go to my mommy, and I'm young and I get it. But she was like, this is something, and she didn't say in a mean way. She was just like, you might want to start thinking about talking to him about these things. And so I'm learning boundaries with them. I'm learning honesty with them. When two people from the family invite me to two different things and I feel like, oh my God, how can I please everyone? I can't split myself in half and go to two different places. And, but that's like not my role. Like, I just have to show up. Oh, and I will say I have shown up for my family. Finally. Right after I came back into the room, my mom actually moved. It was a huge transition time. Long story short, my mom got divorced from my ex-stepdad. And it was a really raw time. And I didn't show up for her. I literally didn't know when her moving date was. Okay, this is my mom who's lived in the same area for 35 years and is moving up north and needs help. She doesn't have another human being to help her with carrying things or painting the house or da-da-da-da. And I showed up like two times to help her, and I painted so badly she had to redo it. Now, my mom had surgery recently, and I took work off to go take care of her. That is not me. That is not me. I am selfish. I know that. But now I know that I can show up for my family in a way that I could never have dreamed of. I could never, because for me, I never showed up because I was in fear. I was in fear. I didn't want to see my mom uncomfortable. I didn't want to feel the feelings. It really wasn't about anyone but me. I really couldn't deal with those feelings. I mean, my mom's lived, it just, right? Okay, well, what do? I show up for her. I can. I have a job that I can take off sick leave, and I do. And so I guess the real answer is yes, honesty and boundaries and all that, but the real answer is that I've been able to show up for them instead of them having to hide things from me because they're afraid that it'll trigger me. You know, like, I didn't know my grandma had breast cancer growing up. Like, I didn't know, da-da-da-da, you fill it in. And I was so mad, I didn't know, but they were just protecting probably themselves from me. Thank you.